John, good morning.
Good morning, Nathaniel.
So, John, when it comes to congestion, people usually talk about having more roads as a solution, but is this actually a solution?
Oh, look, you know, I think it needs a holistic approach, you know, combination of a number of things. And, you know, when we started our research, we came at it very much from a congestion perspective, and we found that a lot of the work that had been done in this space was all about the cure. So, you know, building more infrastructure, roads, tunnels, bridges, moving people from cars onto bikes, congestion charges, you know, deterrence from keeping people off the road, which is good. But at the same time, there wasn't much work done on the prevention and looking at why we have this congestion in the first place. And, you know, what we found is that, you know, a lot of the congestion is down to people going to work and people going to school, and everybody does it at the same time. So everybody's going to work Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. That's when all these peak periods are. So we wanted to look at ways in which we might be able to, you know, challenge that status quo and look at having more flexibility in terms of, you know, the hours we work, the patterns of hours that we work, or even the location that we work.
Mm. Well, that's mostly described as flexible working from what I understand. Could you explain a little bit more about this concept?
Yeah, definitely. So in terms of what flexible working is, it's broken down into those three areas. So it's ways of, you know, flexibility around the number of hours that you work. So, you know, rather than this kind of standard 35 to 40 hour a week, being able to work less hours, essentially. So part-time work and shared job sharing and things like that. Secondly, it's the pattern of hours of work. So rather than, you know, those 35 to 40 hours, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, doing the same number of hours, but in a different pattern. So maybe starting earlier and finishing earlier, or starting later, finishing later, thereby, you know, missing those kind of congestion periods. And then I suppose the main focus of our study was the third part of this flexible working, which is the location. And we were looking at, you know, with the tools that we have today, you know, all our smartphones and laptops, do we even really need to go to the office as often as we do to perform a lot of our tasks? And what we found is that actually, no, we don't.
Mm. Well, I mean, I would like to work from home. I think that would be a pretty amazing gig to be able to do. But do you think, why exactly are some companies so hesitant? Because it doesn't really seem like a widespread movement so far.
Oh, look, Nathaniel, it's funny you should mention, you know, your own job, but I know on another network, which I don't listen to, but there's the Hughie and Kate show. And for the last few months, Kate and her family have been living in Italy, and she has still been doing the show with Hughie. So he's in Melbourne, and she's in Italy, and she's still doing the show as she normally would, and it sounds the same to the listeners. So, you know, that's a great example of flexible work.
Mm. Well, I guess no matter what, if I go on holidays, I'll still have no excuse to do the show. They'll find a way to get me to do the daily somehow.
Exactly.
But how do we get our Australian companies to be more on board for this concept?
Oh, look, I think, you know, discussion and clear communication is a good way to resolve any issue. And obviously proposing what the benefits are to this. And we found many benefits. You know, we focus obviously on the benefits of the employee, but for the employer, there's lots of benefits as well. You know, there's access to talent that normally, you know, they wouldn't be able to access because they're simply too far away. You know, bringing in people into the workforce who can't come into the workforce because of the hours that are needed. So, you know, a lot of that research was looking into, you know, people with children, so mainly women, and being able to not do those full 9 to 5 days, but being able to do, you know, job sharing and part-time work. But also even things like downscaling office space. You know, we looked into that. The average cost in Melbourne is $1,000 per month per desk. So to be able to scale down your workforce by, say, 20-30% for them to be working flexibly, you know, maybe 2 days a week, that would be a huge saving in terms of rent.
Mm, absolutely. Well, it's definitely something that we could definitely see come into Australia more often. But one thing I do have a concern about is, I know for myself, when I do work from home, it's hard to separate that, you know, it's your living space from your workspace. How do you mediate that with the benefits, with the negatives?
Oh, yeah, look, you know, I would say there's no one solution for every individual, and there's no, you know, one solution for every job type or employee. It kind of has to be managed on a one-to-one basis. And, you know, you're quite right. You know, most people who do work remotely work from home, but not everybody. You know, some would use maybe a library close to their home, or a cafe, or even a shared office space or co-working space closer to where they live rather than in the city. And, you know, working from home has to be managed in a particular way, even from a health and safety perspective from the employer. So, you know, these things are certainly considerations to be able to separate that. You know, you don't want your home to suddenly start becoming work. So it has to be done in a formal, you know, quite strategic way.
Well, it's definitely something that you need to find balance in. Well, Mr. Hopkins, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.